Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Strang Report podcast. I'm Stephen Strang, and today I am so excited to interview a longtime friend who is one of the most interesting people I think I've ever met. He's a musician. He played on Broadway. He even played at the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. Can you believe that? Yet he's a man of God. He's a pastor. He has a prophetic ministry. He even prophesied a great shaking that we now think was COVID-19. You're going to want to hear about it and hear about some of the famous people that he knows and he's played with. Stay tuned to hear my conversation, my interview with Casper McLeod of Ball Ground, Georgia.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and I'm so excited to talk to you, Casper. We've been friends a long time. We've been horseback riding. You're one of the most interesting people. You're not only a musician, but you like horses, obviously, and you're a great artist. I just so admire some of the artwork of yours, and I'm a little bit jealous because I wish I could paint that well. But, you know, I first knew you through mutual friends, and they told me that you played the part of John Lennon in the Broadway play Beatlemania. Now, that was a long time ago, but only a handful of times have I even met anyone who played on Broadway. Now, were you a believer back then? I know you have a very interesting testimony in Odyssey. So tell us what it was like to play John Lennon in Beatlemania.
Well, it was a very long time ago, and it's delightful to be with you again, Steve. And do enjoy those times we hear going horseback riding in the hills there. I actually was there to meet Salvador Dali in New York, and he got in the flu, and one of my friends said, you know, you'd be perfect for the part in this musical they're doing on Broadway. So I ended up getting hired to be the clone of John Lennon for this production. I didn't really stay very long because Rick Derringer is a very good friend of mine to this day. Rick's a very strong Christian now as well. And I wasn't a believer back then, neither was Rick. It's, I was with Michael Shree from Santana, and he was basically telling me at a party I was going to get typecast for the rest of my life if I didn't get away from this musical. So I did, left after a few months and went back to England.
Well, of course, I remember John Lennon very well because I was coming of age when the Beatles were so popular. And when I met you, I couldn't help but just see the resemblance. I mean, you're slender and you have long hair. Of course, your hair is kind of blonde and John Lennon was dark-haired. But and you're a rock and roller. I mean, you're a great musician. And I just thought, well, that's perfect. Of course, I met you years after that happened. But just tell us a little bit about your music career and also how you came to faith in Jesus.
Well, I came to faith in Christ because of another musician friend of mine named Phil Keggy. And I think I've known Phil since I was maybe 16. So we go way, way back. He's like my big brother. Phil basically kept sharing the gospel with me until I finally made the connection and became a true believer. At that time, I was on a major label. I was on Atlantic Records at the time in the 80s, right after Sir Richard Branson had offered me a deal with Virgin Records in England. I ended up on Atlantic instead with the famous CEO, Ahmed Erdogan, who was my producer, which was kind of unheard of at the time because he only worked with bands like Yes and the Rolling Stones and Aretha Franklin and all that. But I, at that time, I was talking to Phil Keggy one night, and I just thought, I can't do this anymore because I was a baby Christian. I was just playing havoc with my belief system. So I left to pursue a life playing for the Lord. I decided I wasn't going to play another note until, you know, unless I play for the Lord Jesus. And then Rick Derringer came back into my life a few years back and challenged me on that. And it wasn't the Lord that said, take a vow that you're not going to play. And Rick's going like, you know, you've got this great opportunity, but instead you're preaching to the choir every week. So he kind of pushed me out back into there. At the same time, a really close friend of mine, one of my best friends is Tommy James, a Tommy James and the Shondells, you know, Crimson and Clover, Moaning Moaning, all those big hits. And Tommy got me to come back out and record. We wrote some gospel songs together. And I started playing with him in the Shondells and realized, because he introduced me, you know, on stage. This is my, you know, lead guitarist, Pastor Casper. And afterwards, you get all these people coming up, asking me to pray for them and sharing their stories. It's a great opportunity. Well, that led Rick's, one of his road managers, hooked me up to play at the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, which was ended up calling We Festival. And they asked me to preach. So I got in there, and I was really out of my comfort zone, to be quite honest. But, you know, there I am with Jefferson Starship and Iron Butterfly and John Sebastian, Joey Mullen from Badfinger, a lot of the, you know, bands I grew up like with you listening to on the radio. And we all got on great. And we got done playing our set. I jokingly kind of said the night before to some of Jimi Hendrix guys, like Juma Salton, that was at the original Woodstock. I asked him if he wanted to sit in with us. And I was only half joking, and he said, yeah, I'd love to. So there we are playing with Juma Salton on a Sunday morning at the 50th anniversary Woodstock. And I walked out at the film, and I looked at Juma, and I said, you know, 50 years from now, when we play the 100th anniversary Woodstock, we're going to be really tight. So
that's funny. And you've just known so many people. You've done so many things. I've had the privilege a couple of times. It's been a number of years ago, probably 10 years ago, to actually attend one of your services. There was another conference, some kind of end times prophetic conference that I saw you at, and you've been such a good friend to me, especially during a very difficult time I went through, and I'll just be forever grateful for that. But I'm fascinated with your music. I want people to find out about some of these songs that you've done recently, including on kind of the situation that we're in now. You know, there's just so much confusion, and there's been this great shaking that we call COVID-19. Tell me about the word that you gave before all that happened, and kind of what you think about it now.
Well, I did a lot of prophecy conferences. In fact, it seemed like I was flying somewhere every other week. And my church was so gracious to let me continue to travel at the time. But I know it's on record. I mean, in those films, you know, a number of times I walked out and said, I see a great shaking coming. It's going to change everything. It's going to cause people to hide in their homes. And here we are, you know, this great orchestrated pandemic that's been unleashed on the world. I thought I should mention, going back a moment with the Woodstock experience, one of my friends, Dr. L.A. Marzulli, had warned me, whatever you do, it's a secular audience, don't speak Christianese to them. So I walked out after I got done playing, handed my guitar off to a road manager, and I started talking about quantum physics. And you know, they know I'm a pastor, right? I got introduced as Pastor Casper McLeod. And I started talking about Nicodemus, you know, how he's a well-respected man about town, doing all the best things conservatively. The wind was blowing really hard across the stage. And I went, you know, the Lord Jesus just cuts to the chase. Here's this esteemed rabbi that comes to talk to him in the dead of night and goes, we know you're from God because nobody can do these miracles that you're doing and healing people the way you're doing it, unless God sent you. And the Lord Jesus just cuts the chase and goes, Nicodemus, you got to get born again. And Nicodemus can't comprehend this. He's thinking, you know, in terms of physically, how do I come out of my mom a second time? So the wind's blowing, and I went, you know, the Lord shows him the wind. He goes, you don't know where the wind comes from or where it goes, and you're this great teacher of Israel, the great rabbi, Nicodemus. So how can I explain about quantum physics and string theory either to you? My paraphrase. But afterwards, I wasn't really sure if I could do an altar call, but I just prayed, like, this is what I prayed, you know, when I got saved, and I just did a prayer. And amazingly, all these people, the secular people, celebrities were coming up and hugging me. To this day, I've got people that have joined my church online from that experience.
Wow. Amazing doors that the Lord has opened for you. Tell me about these songs that you talked about that are actually prophetic for the current time. And, of course, I want my listeners to be able to you know, find out more about you and your music. So you need to tell us also a website they can go to.
Well, you can go to CasperMcLeodMusic.com. Casper, C-A-S-P-A-R, because I'm with the Holy Ghost, not the Friendly Ghost.
That's funny. The Holy Ghost, not the Friendly Ghost. Listen, a lot of my listeners don't probably know, remember Casper the Friendly Ghost, but I do. It was a cartoon when I was a little kid. So anyway, go ahead with what you were saying.
So we've got we've actually two albums. I work with the same producers, Tommy James and the Shondells, Glenn Taylor's, and kind of like the George Martin of America. And so we did an album called Game Changers that came out last year, just when the world went into a literal game change. So about that time, I was doing a prophetic conference, and the organizers at Heath Watchman asked me if I could have this violinist come up and play with me. She's from Nashville, professional. I was going, sure, that'd be great. So she comes up, and instantly there's just this anointing on the music we were doing. People were like, thinking we rehearsed it. It was totally improv. So about that time, Glenn had called me up and asked me, you know, since everything was shut down, let's just make another record. So I wrote an album called Black Swan, and that just came out. And then we followed up with two singles called Nanobots. Who writes songs about nanobots, right? Because in the vaccinations, if you really know what's in the ingredients, most physicians are saying, we're prescribing this to all the patients, but they don't even know what's inside it. They don't understand the ingredients inside it. So we've got this nanotechnology in place now. So the songs are all kind of like that. I've got a song called After Black Swan, Thief in the Night, because if you don't understand what's going on and you're not tuned in to the word of God, it is going to be like a thief in the night for a lot of people, because when he says I come quickly, he means I come suddenly. He's suddenly going to come, and it will be a total game changer. So the music is all kind of geared for that. It's kind of music to get raptured by.
And you've had so much influence on so many different people. What is the Lord saying to you now about what's happening in America? What kind of things are you teaching on, you know, in your own church, the Upper Room Ministries up there in Georgia, or when you go to these various prophetic conferences?
Well, I've written books on epigenetics, as well as on the Shrouded Setting. It's really important for people to understand the thought life. I mean, there are mind control technologies that the military has been employing for quite a few years now, like the voice of God machine weapon, where people think they're hearing from God because there's an audible voice telling them, you know, giving them instructions. But we're surrounded right now. Let's recall a few years ago, and I've been telling my church this, you know, for years now. We've been deep, you know, jumping into the deep end of things with God, the deeper things of God. Sophia, one of the most advanced artificially intelligent robots, was granted full citizenship in Egypt just a few years ago. That means she can vote in elections. So there's some really strange stuff going on with all this. I reckon like carbon-12 is one of the most abundant elements in the multi-universes here. It's present in all life forms. I teach about that. So carbon-12 is also one of the five elements of your DNA. In other words, carbon-12 is, you know, one of the most crucial elements in our existence. So we've got six protons, six neutrons, six electrons. And then we read in places like Ephesians and chapter 2 how God has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, amazingly, there's a couple scientists working with quantum physics. They won Nobel Prizes. It was Dr. Hirsch, I think he was the French guy, and Dr. Weiland, an American, that, you know, put a single atom and a single proton together, particles of light, and they proved that you could be in two places at one time, which caused Albert Einstein to, you know, think that was just too weird. He didn't want to know anything about that part. He was wrong on that one, obviously. So, you know, I got to thinking about how this works. As a proton can do this, an electron can do this, it stands to reason that even morons can do it.
That's exciting. And I'm not sure I followed all that, but hopefully my listeners did. But at least you're proving my point that you're one of the most interesting people I've ever met. And I have so much love and respect for you. You are the true definition of, you know, the phrase Renaissance man. I mean, you can do so many things. You're an avid horseman. You're a painter, an artist, a musician, a rock and roller. You know everybody from A to Z. You've been an actor on Broadway. And then you get up and talk about all this physics stuff that I slept through when I was in high school. but I think it's interesting. And I just, you know, you're like a role model to people. I hope people will be inspired with what they're hearing. I hope that they'll share this podcast with others. That's how we get the word out. In fact, I'll just mention to my listeners and to you, Casper, that just this week, my Starring Report podcast, since day one in 2015, when I only had 14,000 the first year, has just now passed 8 million downloads. And part of it is that people will, you know, share it with others. That's how we get new listeners. And also, if people will go on iTunes and give it a good review, that helps raise the profile of it or something, and helps us to get the word out more. So as we wrap up this Strang Report podcast, Casper, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I have a lot of people asking me almost every day. Someone's writing me, messaging me, asking me, is this the mark of the beast system that, you know, is unfolding before us? And it kind of reminds me of John the Baptist going, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And then 3 years later, John the Baptist is in prison thinking, "Wait, I'm John the Baptist. What am I doing in prison?" Sends a couple of his friends, "You go ask Jesus of Nazareth, are you the one, or should we wait for another?" And, you know, the Lord Jesus goes, "Just watch this demonstration. Look, the deaf hear, the lame are walking, diseases are disappearing, the blind see again. Go back and tell John that." So when this all started to unfold last year, and I shared this with my church back in March 2020, I found an article, the last paragraph of Microsoft ID 2020 Alliance, that says, "As more and more transactions become digital in nature and are built around a single global identification standard supported by Microsoft, ka-ching, the question of who will govern this evolving global community and economy becomes relevant, especially since non-participants in the system would be unable to buy or sell goods or services." Now, where have we heard that before? Oh, it sounds just like Revelation 13, right? "He causes both small and rich, poor and free bonds, and receives a mark in the right hand and the forehead that nobody could buy or sell, save he's got the mark." We're not going back to what, you know, you would consider normal before, you know, 2019. This is a whole new chapter now, and I'm just encouraging people to get right with God. The best way to be a prepper, like Noah was a prepper, is, you know, draw closer to God and he'll draw closer to you.
Well, very well said. And I think that's a good place to leave it. Thank you so much, Casper McLeod from Ball Ground, Georgia, for taking time from your busy schedule to share a little bit of your life and music. And I hope people will follow up on it. And as I said earlier, be sure to share this with friends. So until tomorrow, tune in for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.